Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church on the second day of March. Can you believe it? 2008, already second day of March. We'd like to welcome you. Do we have any first-time visitors? Well, if you haven't already, let's take a minute, stand up and greet your neighbor, spread some love this morning, and then we'll get started. Okay, do we have any announcements this morning? I call your attention to the announcements that are in the bulletin. There's a VBS announcement, things that they're need. It's already time for VBS again, so we need supplies for that. Also, the barbecue and the silent auction, information about that. The classical music concert is March 15th here at 6 o'clock. Free admission is going to feature Celtic and Irish music. Also, you'll see the up-and-coming events for the Jenkins Youth in your announcements this morning, too. And as we are trying to get to Caguas, Puerto Rico in July, I know it seems like we're continuously doing fundraisers, but they're fun, and they're helpful to each of the kids to get them there. The kids work them, and the only ones that benefit from the fundraiser, the only child that benefits from the fundraiser are the youth that work the fundraiser. What we do, the youth that actually work the fundraiser, we split it between them, the profit between them. So it's not like we're working, some are sitting back doing nothing and getting the benefit. If they don't work, they don't get any money toward their trip. So just look in and see the information there. Any prayer or praise requests this morning? I'm sorry, go ahead. Triplets? Okay, great. Okay. Yeah, Bill? Okay. Anyone else?
If I didn't mention that, I'll say it again. But she had a tear in her placenta, and supposedly it's healed itself, so she's doing okay now, so that's a prayer for her.
Mr. Woodruff is not doing well. We thought he was well, and he got the flu, and it has really set him back. And he is discouraged, his resistance is down, and he's been falling even, lost his balance. So I told him that we would mention him and give special time to him today in prayer, so I ask you to do that. Also, Ms. Naren is doing well and going to come home Tuesday, I believe. That's two that we mentioned this morning. Many others are listed.
Mr. Schaefer
is still finding out what the doctors want to do.
Oh. Yeah, that's what we try to tell ourselves. Okay. Okay, if there's no more prayer requests, just bow our heads for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is in your bulletin. It is responsive. It's based on Ephesians 5. Come walk in the light. God will show us the way. Come worship our God. The Spirit has called us here. Come listen and learn of God's love. The love of Christ Jesus is ours.
Stand, turn in our hymns to Him. 76. Oh, for a thousand times to sing, my King Redeemer's praise. The glories of our God and King, the trust of His praise. Jesus, the name that joys our praise, and with our sorrows cease. Till we live in God's embrace, here is life and hope and peace. He brings the power of everything, running for the misery. His blood will bring the boundary, with His blood of Him.
Join me for prayer. I ask that we remember that we are here for God, and He has promised when we come together with Him to bless Him, but He has told us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and then He would meet our needs. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You want us to come and gather in Your special presence, that we are the most special that we can find here on this earth, whom we gather with fellow Christians to worship You in truth and in spirit. Lord, we want to be here just for You, but we know, Lord, when we come into Your presence, that You do bless us. You may convict us. You may convert us. You may charge us with the wrong in our life, but You forgive us. Lord, we come today thanking You for that privilege of just pouring our wrong out before You, and that You hear us, and that You forgive us, and set us on the path of living a better life. And Lord, also that You go with us to enable us to live that better life. Thank You for this time together, these who have come. Bless every aspect of this hour. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The order of worship has changed a little, so be sure and look in your bulletin. Let's turn now to hymn 274. Break thou the bread of life. Let's do 1 and 4.
Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as our
this morning comes from Luke 6:38. Give it and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Will the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord God, you've already given to our containers run over. We have pressed them down. And Lord, sometimes we have kept them that your word calls on us to share. And sometimes we have shared. We come today thanking you for so many blessings that you have bestowed upon us, poured out into our laps or into our containers. Lord, we pray for your guidance, that we might use wisdom, your kind of wisdom, in returning a portion of that which you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Invite Louise Russell, Julie Bomar, Steve Alamore, Sam Sutter, Ez Toskowski, and Teresa Justice to assist at the table. The Apostle Paul writes that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes." It was to pay for our sins. And we who have trusted Jesus, or are trusting Jesus as our Savior, have given him our sin and trusted him to forgive us, we're all invited to his table to remember that his death provided this forgiveness. So you who are believers, you are invited to eat and drink from his table, taking a part of his body, but actually representatives of his body, into our body. The bread representing a broken body, the cup representing his shed blood. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before you and before your table. Lord, we come with common elements. We come with the bread that sustains us each day. But this bread, Lord, we dedicate to you. And we set it apart for this special use, this holy use, to remember your sacrifice, your love. Remember that you gave of yourself far beyond what has ever been expected of anyone else for our salvation. Thank you. Praise be to you. In Jesus' name. Your name. Remember his body broken for you. Be a priest to your neighbor. Lord God, for the shed blood, your scriptures say, shed for the remission of sin. Lord, the fruit of the vine, commonly used for refreshment. But we come setting this apart for this holy use, a remembrance of you forgiving our sin through shedding your blood. Set this apart for us, O Lord. In your name, Jesus. Be a priest to your neighbor. The elders will serve you, administering this holy meal instituted by Jesus Christ. So in serving, they're acting as priests of God. But you serve your neighbor, administering to your neighbor this holy meal. Act as a priest of God. O Lord our God, again we offer thanks for your great sacrifice for us, for showing such love. And help us in turn show love for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning is written in your bulletin. First one comes from Luke 10, verses 1 through 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." The second reading is from John chapter 4, verses 34 through 38. "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Sometimes harvest is the most difficult part of raising a crop. I hear the hay farmers talking about the difficulty of gathering hay. I hear the tobacco farmers talking about the difficult time of gathering in the tobacco. And I know something about the old days, the non-mechanical days of the cotton farmers gathering in the cotton, or the corn farmers gathering in the corn. The harvest is so very difficult. But when you see the harvest, and when you're participating in the harvest, you know that payday, or you're hoping that payday, is just around the corner. Planting, preparing the land, planting the seed, cultivating the seed, it's a long way off. Sometimes the payday is so far away that it's almost out of our vision. But when you're harvesting, you can know that payday is coming soon. Jesus left heaven to come to earth to do some harvesting, but also to teach us about harvesting for the kingdom of God. Harvesting souls or people for heaven. He left heaven. He came to earth. What a step down he took. He really did. Can you think of it? Heaven and just what you know about it. Earth and what you have experienced. While he was here, what did he experience? He suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, a hole, kind of like a cave, in a wall, or a side of a mountain. Death could not hold him. Jesus rose from the dead, astounding those around him, confusing them, frightening them, causing disbelief. But during the 40 days that he spent walking among the believers, many came to a new realization of life, and that death could not hold this one called Jesus. And having walked upon earth for 40 days, he ascended back to heaven. And I'm thinking that was a glorious day for him when he got to leave this mean old earth, where he was doubted and questioned and basically kicked around, slandered, lied about, misused, taken advantage of, and he got to go back to heaven. What a day. What a day. But he came to earth because he cares. Because he cares enough for us. It's a song that says something to the effect that nobody cares for me like Jesus. You can take that one to the bank. Nobody cares for me like Jesus. He came to earth and went through the life that he went through to save us from our sin. To pay with his life for our sin. No sin of his own. Tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. And he came, a sinless person, and died for a bunch of sinners. Sinners that hadn't sinned too much, but sinners that had done gross sin. To pay for our sin. Thinking of that, I want to share something from a fellow minister, Jonathan Clark, at the Winchester Church. I met Jonathan about 31 years ago, and shortly thereafter he moved from Robertson County to Winchester and has been there ever since. Great success. And one of the places that the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, I believe, is one of the largest churches in town. That doesn't always happen. A great success, a great minister. But Jonathan is challenging the people of the Winchester Church. And I think it's a great challenge for any congregation. And I want to read bits and pieces of this, his newsletter article. I wonder if they read it, because I wonder if our people read ours, and every once in a while somebody will mention something, and so I know they have read a page or two. It is an interesting story. Preacher wondered if the people read the newsletter, read the articles, and they mailed out page two. They didn't put page one. And he said something to the effect, as I said on page one, but he didn't mail that one out. And he was going to see how many people came to him and mentioned, well, what was on page one? And the story is, how true that one is, I don't know. But the story is, not a one. Not a one. So we hope that our newsletters are read, but other preachers read preachers' newsletters sometimes. He says, and I affirm what he says, it's a fact. We have a greater challenge in maintaining our size as a church and growing in number than perhaps any other time in our history. Right now is a challenging time for the church. And he goes on to talk about each generation, each new generation becomes increasingly unchurched. 41% attend church services on a typical Sunday. over half, or 51% of the generation born between before 1946 attend church on a typical weekend. But only 41% of those born from 46 to 64, and 34% of those born between 65 and 76. And there's a new name for some of these generations. And I haven't heard this one before. The Bridgers, born from between 1977 and 94. And a recent research with these people indicates that only 4% of the teenagers understand the gospel and have accepted Christ, even if they attend church. Of the entire Bridger generation, less than 30% in church. This indicates that America is clearly becoming less Christian, less evangelized, and less church. Then go on with some more studies. They indicate that if we don't reach out to the teenagers, that the chances really go down of a person becoming a Christian. 81% of those who accept Christ do so before the age of 20. And we, if it's after 20, the numbers go way down. But that hasn't changed much. I remember a sermon by my pastor when I was 15 years old. Very similar statistics. That if a person waited till they were 50 years old to become a Christian, the chances are that person becoming a Christian, well, greatly decreased. Luke, the gospel writer, tells about Jesus sending out 12. And then he tells about Jesus sending out 70, but the New International Version of the Scripture uses 72. Well, 70 or 72, I'm not going to argue over two, but maybe those, if I was one of those two, I might be arguing over it. But anyhow, Luke chapter 9, about he sent out 12. Luke chapter 10, he sends out 70. And these people were sent to the community. First, he talked about the lost sheep of the house of Israel, himself coming for them. Jesus sent out disciples to gather people into his kingdom. Many great acts of kindness Jesus performed. Many miracles for the body Jesus performed. Miracles of healing, miracles of feeding, just many miracles. But his main purpose was to gather people to the kingdom, to get people ready to go to heaven, to call people to faith in Jesus Christ. So they could be saved. That's what faith in Jesus Christ does for us, is we trust him as our Savior. And as he sent out the 70, he asked for prayer support. Prayer support. Now, we're not sure who he was talking to as we read this kind of superficially. But he says to somebody, maybe those he sent out, pray. Pray for harvesters for the kingdom. Luke 10, chapter 2. Pray for harvesters. Or pray for workers in the kingdom of God. What do we need to pray for as we pray for workers in the kingdom of God? Well, being one of the harvesters for these years, and dealing with many other harvesters, some who were professional ministers, ordained ministers, and lay people, there's a number of things that I want to mention that we need to pray for when we're praying for harvesters in the kingdom. They'd be lay people, they'd be clergy, as we have distinguished one from the other. Pray for their ability. Pray for a kingdom worker's ability to share the gospel. Pray for their ability to share the gospel. You had an insert in your bulletin, or you had a handout when you came in. Did you get it? On one side, it is an outline of a sermon. There were some blanks there this year. I mean, this day, I kind of changed that up. I want to write in some, fill in the blanks. But on the other side, there is the Bible way to heaven. It's called the Roman Road. And this has not been my method of leading people to trust in Jesus Christ, but it's worked tremendously for some people through the generations. So I have provided the outline and the scripture verses, all from the book of Romans except the last. That's just an encouragement, kind of wrapping it all together. And if you know this, if you know this and can speak this, and even read it to somebody, you have the ability or the knowledge of how to lead a person to Jesus Christ. There's even a simple prayer. If you want to help a person pray through that prayer, not just read the prayer, please, but to truly pray the prayer. So we need to pray for courage. For the harvesters who go out to have courage. Still, when I get to a door and I lift my hand to tap on that door, I do it with fear and trembling. How am I going to be received? What is going on in this house? That is, if I haven't called ahead. Trying to call ahead, but every time you can. How am I going to be received? Am I prayed up? This could be a pastoral call or an evangelistic call. But we need courage that only God can give. So pray for courage. And I think that message to pray is to us today. Let me say that. Back up and say that. Pray for the witness to have courage. If it be you that's going, pray for God to give you courage and hope that other people are praying for you also. And then, as we go on, pray for strength. You know, sometimes the devil can sap our strength, and we just can't seem to get up the strength, physical strength, to go and do something for the Lord. And then pray for determination. One of our problems as Christians is we're not very determined. So pray for determination. Pray that the one who goes, if it be you, or if it be me, or if it be that person sitting beside you, pray that they will depend on God. So many examples where people were trying to do a work for the kingdom but depended on their own strength or their own abilities. And we must always remember that it's God's work we're doing, and if He doesn't bless it, if He doesn't build the house is built in vain. Pray for the people who go will depend on God, and pray that we never forget that. And it's so easy to have success at this house and say, man, I did pretty good, and go to the next house in our own strength. We must never do that. We must always pray that God will keep us reminded, put the burden on Him. He's willing to do that, I think, to depend on Him. Then we pray that we will not get carried away with our own ability, but we'll be excited over the results. And that's what Jesus told the disciples to return when they returned. Some of them came back and they said, "Oh, Jesus, you just wouldn't believe it." Now, I may be paraphrasing a little bit. Said, "Boy, great things happened, that we saw demons fall from heaven." And Jesus says, "Don't get carried away with what you saw. But be happy about people being saved. Be happy that your name is written in heaven. Be happy, not about the great events that are taking place, the show that went on." And then, is he saying, pray for the harvestees? Those who will be harvested? Those that we're going to witness to, pray that they will listen and pray that they will understand or comprehend, and then pray that they will believe. Because even their belief is a God thing. The faith is from God. It's a gift of God. Last 2 months, most of the Sundays, the sermons have been about harvesters. In the letter to the Apostle Paul, from the Apostle Paul, Paul, more than one letter, Paul pointed out that there was then, and we know that the same is true today, there is a division of responsibilities in reaching the lost with the good news of Jesus. And every person cannot do everything. And one person cannot do everything. Some that Paul mentioned had particular gifts to do a particular task. The same is true today. Some have the particular gift to do a particular task. Others have this God-given ability or gift to do something else. Romans 12. Read about gifts. Right here in your Bible. I've got it marked, but we won't take time to read it. Romans 12. Read about the gifts. And how one can do something and somebody else has another gift. 1 Corinthians 12. One can do something and one has one gift and one has the other gift. They all are put together for the building up of the church, of the kingdom of God. Even about preachers, he said. What did he say? Do you remember? Somebody was kind of criticizing his preaching ability, I think. It seemed like that. Even about preachers, he said that he planted, Apollos watered. So, he planted the seed. Apollos came by and sprinkled some water on it. In their preaching, the seed of the gospel, watered that seed of the gospel, and the gospel started to grow. But it was God the Father, who gave the increase. So, a division of responsibilities. Every preacher doesn't have the same gifts some other preacher has. Some have special abilities to do some things. Others have special abilities to do other things. And sometime in the small congregation, one has to do some things he doesn't have the special abilities to do, but God blesses his efforts or her efforts anyway. And it's God who gives the increase. Jesus spoke of some sowing, some reaping. Everybody doesn't sow. and everybody doesn't reap. In the kingdom, some will do the sowing and some will do the reaping. And I can remember that back from the cotton field or the corn field, and you may remember it from wherever you were. We brought in extra people before the advent of the cotton picker, the mechanical cotton picker. Had to bring in extra people to harvest the cotton. Hey, now they still have to bring in extra people if they do square bales, I think they call them. Actually, they're rectangle, but they call them square bales for some reason. But Jesus goes on to say, all rejoice together. All rejoice together because people have received eternal life. And it was a result of the combined work of the workers and the blessing of God. It is God in the person of the Holy Spirit who prepares the heart of the condemned sinner to receive the message of forgiveness and salvation. It is God who applies the message that the messenger gives, applies it to the prepared heart. It is God who gives the messenger the message. And it is God who convicts, who converts, who consecrates us to God until we are wholly, fully, completely His. People coming to Jesus and through Him to God the Father. It's a God thing. But we do our part, and God blesses. Pray for harvesters. Pray for new disciples. Disciples in the kingdom of God on this earth. And then they'll be transported right on to heaven. Pam, let's confess our sin. Pam will come and lead us in that.
The call to confession comes from Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. If you'll join me in the prayer confession. God of amazing grace, forgive our blind spots that keep us from seeing you. Forgive our avoidance of your healing touch and your revealing spirit. Touch us with your healing hands of love. Help us sing of your amazing grace, knowing that we who once were blind can now truly see. Help us know your amazing grace, trusting that we who were once lost are now forever found in your love. In the name of your gracious love we pray. Your assurance of forgiveness comes from John 10, verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture.
202. Let's stand and sing the first two verses of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and save the wretched, me.
you'll join me in the Apostles' Creed that's on the screen. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He sits on the right hand. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Of the world praying for harvesters, and if God so directs you, work in the harvest yourself. Amen. You are dismissed.
There is an updated prayer list back here.
Thank you. you, God, I get my